Shalom, and welcome to Via Havta Yisrael, a Hebrew phrase which means, you shall love Israel. We hope you'll stay with us for the next 30 minutes as our teacher, Dr. Baruch, shares his expository teaching from the Bible. Dr. Baruch is the senior lecturer at the Zera Avraham Institute based in Israel. Although all courses are taught in Hebrew at the Institute, Dr. Baruch is pleased to share this weekly address in English. To find out more about our work in Israel, please visit us on the web at loveisrael.org. That's one word, loveisrael.org. Now, here's Baruch with today's lesson.
We see that God has called us to be different, that He calls us not only to a covenantal relationship with Him, but to take hold of His truth, to walk in wisdom and understanding and morality and justice and ethics, that we might have a powerful testimony. And realize a simple principle, and that is there are real outcomes, real consequences and implications for the decisions we make, even as believers. Our faith in Messiah does not shield us from poor decision making. And therefore, we have been in this book of Proverbs for several months, and we have a few months left, and we're going to see over and over that God wants to assist us. He wants to tell us how to make good decisions, godly decisions, wise decisions, decisions with understanding and knowledge, so that it will be well with us. That's God's desire. And God reveals truth so that we can be individuals that make God-pleasing decisions. Take out your Bible and look with me to the book of Proverbs and chapter 19. The book of Proverbs and chapter 19. Now here, once more, we're going to see verses that oftentimes share a dichotomy. Two very, very different things. And this gives us a choice. He reveals something to us so that we choose wisely. We take hold of the wisdom, the understanding, the knowledge that this passage is going to impart to us. And we take hold of it. And here's the key. We apply it to our life. We pray through this scripture so that we can live out the word of God. That is the call of every true disciple. So let's begin. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 1, where it says, good. Now I realize most English Bibles will say better, but it's simply the word good relating to God's will. So every time that word good appears, it's teaching us about God's will. And what is God's will? Well, notice who is the subject. It is a person who is rash, which means someone who is poor, someone who has been impoverished. But notice what it says. Good is a poor one who walks in, and most Bibles will say, in blamelessness or in integrity. What an important truth. It's not important how much money we have, whether we are wealthy or poor. But what is important to God, that we walk in a blameless way, we walk in integrity. And the more we study the Word of God, the more that we apply the truth of the commandments of God to our life, the more that we are going to demonstrate this blamelessness and integrity. So he says here, good, and the implication is good is the poor one who walks in his integrity. Than, and this is a word for from, but in this context, it should be understood than. And it's speaking about one who twists his lips. Now, there's going to be much said about lying and falsehood in our study tonight. And this is an image for someone who is twisting his lips, meaning not speaking with integrity, not speaking with truth, not being forthright in his statements. And one who does that, what is he? It says, and he is a fool. And again, let's review. This word for fool implies someone who knows the right thing to do, but refuses to do it. So in this word kasil for fool, there's a degree of rebelliousness, a rejection of what he knows to be right. He chooses to do wrong. Verse 2. Also, without knowledge, then we have nefesh, which is a soul, but it can mean an individual or a person. So a person also who is without knowledge, what does it say? Lo tov. It is not good. Now, when we are without knowledge, what are we going to be? Well, notice here. Now, Bibles, for some reason, do oftentimes not pay attention to the grammar. The word for sin is chet. The word for a sinner is chote. Now, most Bibles will translate this as sin, but it's really a sinner. And we see here that this is the subject of this last part of the verse. A sinner, and the verb here, is one who hastens. And we have the expression, a sinner who hastens with his feet, meaning he is quick to go to where there is sin. He is a sinner, and he hastens sinful activity in his life. And what do we know about this? Well, just what we learned about the first part. It is not good. It is not good for a person to be without knowledge. And that lack of knowledge is going to cause someone to quickly, with haste, move into sin. Here, it means that he is going to practice sin. Verse 3. We have a word for folly, and it simply speaks about foolish behavior. So the foolish behavior of a man, what does it do? It distorts, it twists, it perverts his way. Now, some scholars will say his way not only refers to the man, the way the man goes, but his way can also be referring to the way of God. So when we, notice what the scripture says, when a man behaves in folly, in foolishness, it is going to distort, it's going to turn him away from, it is going to cause him to not walk properly in his way. And it also has another outcome. Notice this, ve'al Hashem, which means, and against the Lord, his heart, meaning his thoughts, his heart will be, and the word here is a very strong word for anger. And this is what the scripture is saying. When a person is an individual that is behaving in a foolish way, living in folly, that which is in conflict with the truth of God, this man is going to distort his ways. His ways are not going to be good ways or proper ways. And what is that going to lead him to do? To be against the Lord. And his thought, his heart, is not going to be a corrected heart, a good heart, a pure heart, but a heart that is angry. And this word for angry might better be understood as enraged. It is a word of strong, strong anger. Verse 4. We have the word hon. We've talked about this in the past. I may mention that in modern Hebrew, it relates to a set of assets like a portfolio. So a group of assets that relate to someone's wealth, what they possess or their net worth. So it says here, hon, and in this case, in the biblical sense, it usually refers to a great deal of assets. And it says, one who has that great sum of assets, what will he do? He will add many friends. So he's going to want to share his wealth, and therefore that is going to produce many friends. But then it says, a dal is a person of meager means, someone who is poor, very poor. It says, that poverty, it's going to show that his friend he will be separated. Meaning, when someone has a lot and is generous, they're going to have, all of a sudden, coming out of the woodwork, many friends. But when someone is poor, that poverty is going to separate him from individuals. People, his friends, are going to depart from him. Now, that's not a good commentary about humanity, but I think it's a very accurate one, unfortunately. Now, let's go to verse 5. Now, verse 5 has a problem. By the way, we're going to see that same problem later on in a similar verse, because it says here, and let me read it in Hebrew, so that you see what I'm speaking about. The Hebrew word for a witness, one who is called to bear testimony, and we're all called to be witnesses, to bear testimony of the truth. It says here, ed, and that's the word for a witness, one who testifies. But here's the problem. Most will say a false witness, but the problem is, if it's the word false, it would agree in grammatical construction with the noun. Adjectives must agree with the noun, but this is not a plural adjective. It is a plural one. So we see here, it's not singular, it's not a singular adjective, which it should be. We have ed, one witness, but it's word shkarim, which means lies. So what it literally says is this: a witness, singular, one witness, but what do we find? Lies. A witness of lies will not be, and the implication is, not be cleansed or not be not charged. He's going to be charged if he's a witness and he speaks lies, many lies. And notice what it says as we continue. And he who, and most Bibles will say speak, but it's not the word speak. It's a word to blow. It's the same word that we see early on in the book of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 2, when it says that God breathed the breath into man's nostrils, and he became a living being. So here it's that same word for breathing. And what does he breathe? And breathing is seen as essential, related to life. And this man's life is based upon Kizavim. Kizavim is another word for shkarim, lies. So one who's breathing lies, and I can understand why they would say speaking lies. You breathe, you speak, you blow out air when you speak. So one who speaks lies, notice what it says, lo yimalet, which means will not escape. There's going to be accountability. Now, this accountability may not happen in this world. But be assured, when God takes the throne, and that's what his kingdom is about, we should not expect justice and righteousness and that which is fair in this world. We're living in a world of darkness, a world of deceit, a world of falseness. That's why there's coming upon the scene the Antichrist, who may also be known as the false prophet. Many see them as two. I do not, but we'll put that aside for now. So a witness of lies will not be exonerated, won't be placed upon him no guilt. Quite the contrary. It says here, one who breathes lies will not escape. There will be judgment coming. Look now to verse 6. Rabin, which means many. Many will entreat. Now, this word entreat is a word of asking, making requests. So many, they will entreat. And what will they entreat? What will they make requests to? It says here, the face of a generous one. Now, I realize many Bibles will use the word nadiv and say nobility. Now, the implication is, people of noble means and noble positions should be generous. They have a lot, too much, to whom much is given, much is expected. So I see the correlation, but it's literally here in this passage. Many are going to literally will entreat the face of a generous one. And every friend, meaning all that friend, is going to be to a man that Matan gives. So someone who is generous, someone who is giving. It says here in this passage, every friend is going to be there to one who is giving. They show up. Just a factual statement. People like generous individuals and they like to be in their presence because of what they can reap. So this is what we're learning. Then he says in verse 7, every brother of a poor one, and it's literally brothers, all the brothers of a poor one hate him. Surely that his friend, they will be far from him. And then it speaks about this one who is poor, pursuing with words. So trying to pursue, make friends with words. But note it says, lo hema, which means not they. Meaning they're not going to be coming to him. He may speak words, but because he's poor, they're not going to respond. They're not going to help. And again, it's a kind of a sad commentary about the world. And I believe the reason for that is to say, don't be like the world. Don't be someone because someone can't pay you, can't do something for you, can't reward you in some way. Be different. Bless that person. Help that person. Be a friend of that person. Don't be like the rest of the world that when someone falls on hard times, everyone leaves them. They're alone. Don't be that way. Stand with them. And we talked about how one who loves will be closer than a brother last week. Well, let's move on to verse 8. It says here, kone lev. Now, lev is the word for heart. I believe a lot of Bibles will translate this word lev as wisdom, but it's literally a heart, meaning to acquire a heart, and the implication is a heart that is corrected, a heart that's established by God. So we read in verse 9, one who acquires a heart loves his soul. So we understand what it's speaking about here is this, acquiring a heart. What are they talking about? I need a new heart. Now, the heart is the seat of thoughts. We know from the heart of man comes the issues of life. So how we think is very important. So when we acquire that heart and it's a established heart, a corrected heart, notice what it says. Such a person who does that loves his soul, meaning loves himself. And then it goes on to say, the one who keeps understanding, what will he do? He will find good, meaning he will find the will of God. So this is, in my estimation, an important verse. When you establish your heart, now, can I do it myself? I cannot. God has to be the one establishing a heart. How does he do that? Through that new covenant relationship. We trust in the one that God has provided for salvation. And when we are saved, we become that new creation. We are not only a new creation, that new man or new woman, but we'll have a corrected heart, a heart that's been established. And what is that going to lead us? It is going to lead us to guard that which is of true understanding. Why? Well, notice the end of it. It says, limso tov, to find good, which means to live in God's will. Remember, we've always said that there's a connection between that word good and the will of God. So I need a heart to be established. I need understanding. And through a heart that's an understanding and a heart that has wisdom, therefore I will be able to do what? Find, locate, we might say discern the will of God, to find that which is good in God's eyes. Move now to verse 9. Now, verse 9 is very, very similar to verse 5. Only one word is different, the last word. Now, let's go back up to verse 5 and remember what it says. It says, a witness of lies will not be exonerated, meaning he's going to be held accountable. He's going to be guilty. He's not going to be cleansed from his lies. And one who breathes lies, it says here, will not escape. But notice our verse now. Go down now to verse 9. It begins the same way. In fact, all of it's the same except for the last word where it says, verse 9, a witness of lies will not be exonerated, meaning he's going to be held accountable. And the one who has breathed lies, meaning spoken lies, what's going to happen? Well, we learned in verse 5, he won't escape. Now we learn what's going to actually happen to him. He will perish. And the word here for perishing can also be the word for being lost. He is not going to be found. He is not going to be acknowledged by God. He is not going to be in the kingdom of God. Move to verse 10. Now, verse 10 speaks about something that is fitting. It says, lo nave. Here, the word nave means something that is fitting. So it is not fitting or appropriate or right for a fool. And what's the next word? What bothers me is that there is a Hebrew word for luxury. This is not the word for luxury. Many Bibles translate it as this way. It's not fitting for a fool, luxury. But that's not what it says. It is the word ta'anug. Now, many of you know that are part of a Messianic congregation or a synagogue or have some background or connection with the Jewish community. We have an expression, oneg Shabbat. Oneg means the delight of Shabbat. And that usually is after the time of worship. There's a time of fellowship and in food. So we eat together, we fellowship together, and that's a delightful experience. And this is from that same word, oneg. It's in a different form, ta'anug, but same word. So what he's saying here is this. It's not appropriate, it's not fitting, it's not proper for a fool to have delight. Rather, it says, or even, we could translate it, that for a servant to rule over princes, or now we're talking about leaders in a government, governmental leaders. So it's not appropriate, it's not fitting for a fool to have delight, nor is it proper or correct for a servant to be the one who rules over the princes, the governmental leaders. Then he says, look now to verse 11. The sechel. Sechel is intelligence. Sechel yeshar is common sense. So we have sechel adam, meaning the intelligence of a man. If he's smart, what will that intelligence do? It says, it will cause his anger to be lengthened, meaning a wise person, one that has intelligence, is not quickly angered. That intelligence is going to cause him to respond with anger very slowly. It is not going to be his natural response. And then it goes on to say, and his splendor, meaning this one who has intelligence, his splendor, and this means what is really desirable about him is avor, meaning he passes over transgression. Now, that does not mean that he does not deal with it or he's careless about transgressions. But what he's saying is, and the parallelism is this, he's slow to anger and also he's not quick to charge transgressions to someone. Now, it doesn't mean that he's careless with right and wrong, with justice and such. It simply means that he's not quick to respond to someone. He, as God does, God is slow to anger. God is very compassionate. God is very gracious. And God gives time. He's slow. He gives time for repentance. And that's all this verse is saying. Instead of being quick to jump on someone and to scold them and to be angry with them, be a little bit more patient. And perhaps that person will learn what he did is wrong, and he will seek amends. He will say he's sorry. He will do the right thing. He will repent. Now move to verse 12. We have the word naham. Now, when I came across that word, I didn't know it, so I had to do some studying. Now, there's a similar word, shoag, which is, or shoeg, which is to roar like a lion roars. This is simply a synonym for that same concept. So, and the verse here speaks about the roaring as kafir. Now, some of you know the word for lion is aryeh. But learn the word kafir is for a young lion. Aryeh can be any age lion, usually an adult, but this is kafir is a young, a very strong, and lion in the prime of his life. Early on, he has much energy, much strength. He doesn't wear out. And therefore it says, look at the text, verse 12. The roaring as a young, powerful lion is like the anger. And that's that same word we saw earlier on the text at the end of verse 3. So the roaring as a lion is the anger. And again, it's a word for being enraged. The king being enraged. The king being very angry. But in contrast to that, as the dew is upon the grass or herb is his delight. So we find that the delight of the king, not just an earthly king, but also the King of Kings, it is very pleasant, just like the morning dew is so necessary. And delighting God is what we should be about, pleasing him. That's what's in being encouraged here. Don't do the decisions and the actions that are going to make him angry like a young lion roars in anger. Well, verse 13. Havot. Havot is destruction. So the destruction or trouble or that which is not pleasant. So we'll say the trouble to his father is a foolish son. And again, this word for foolish is one who knows better and rebels. It's not that he is unaware of the right thing. He just rejects the right thing. And therefore, he is trouble to his father. And then it says a drip. And then we have word that modifies that. A continuous or an ongoing drip is the strife. And it's in the plural, the strifes of a wife. So if your wife is not happy, she's always dripping out complaints, it's not a very pleasant experience. And the scripture is telling us not to ignore that, but to deal with it. We need to be people that solve problems to bring about a change. A father needs to change that son. If he doesn't want grief and sorrow and destruction, he needs to minister and bring a change to that son that he won't be rebellious. And in that same way, if a wife has abundant strife continuously, like a dripping faucet, we need to do something to minister to her to bring a change in her life. Look now to verse 14. A house, this can mean like an estate, a house, and we have that same word, hon, for a portfolio, a group of assets. So a house and assets is the inheritance of the fathers, meaning what the fathers provide for their son, a house and also some wealth, a portfolio, an inheritance. But notice what it says that's better than that. Now, many people would be very happy to receive from their father a house and a large sum of money and assets. But it says here, and from the Lord is a woman of discernment or intelligence. Now, this is the same word. If you go back up a little earlier in our text, we see in verse 11, the word sechel. This is the verb form. Sechel is a noun. We translate it intelligence or wisdom or that which is prudent, that which is more than just common sense. And it says here in verse 11, the intelligence of a man, let's go back to our verse 14. A house and assets, a portfolio, is the inheritance of the fathers, meaning the patriarchs. But from the Lord is a discerning woman. And this but means it's better than. Better than inheriting a house and a great portfolio, a great deal of wealth, is from the Lord receiving a very prudent, a woman, a wife of understanding and intelligence in regard to the will of the Lord. Verse 15. Laziness or slothfulness will bring about a fall. A fall into what? We have the word ter dema. Now, in modern Hebrew, this is relating to a coma. Someone is very sick. They lose consciousness and they fall into a coma. Now, what we find here is this: slothfulness is going to put you spiritually into a coma, meaning you're not going to have discernment. You're not going to be an individual that has wisdom and makes good decisions. So slothfulness, being lazy, and that's what this word is in verse 15, atzla. So slothfulness, being lazy, will bring about a fall into a coma or into a trance. And a soul that is, and this could be the word person, a person that, and I don't know why this is, but many English Bibles will translate it, a idle person. It's not the word for idle. It is a word for cheating or deceiving. Rimiyah is a word which means to cheat someone, to deceive them with intent. So it says here in this scripture that a person of deceit will be hungry, meaning he will fall into a famine. Now, a personal famine doesn't mean that he is going to be in the world for this large worldwide famine, but it's simply saying that he's going to be hungry. Why? Because God does not reward deceit and being a cheater. Well, let's go to our last verse, a really great verse, verse 16, where it says, read it in Hebrew, Shomer mitzvah, shomer, remember we have the present tense now, very rare, which means to guard or to keep. And it's a word of placing a value on. You guard the things that have value to you. So one who keeps a commandment keeps his soul or keeps himself, keeps his himself. But in contrast to that, boze. Now, the word boze is someone who has contempt. So one who has contempt in his ways, meaning this. He behaves in a way that he manifests all the time contempt. Now, that word for contempt usually leads to complaining. God does not like complaining. Complaining will not bring you into blessing or give you the right frame of mind to make wise decisions. So it says here in our last verse, one who keeps a command keeps his soul. But one who has contempt in his ways or for the ways of God, one who has contempt for the ways of God, what will he do? It says here, Yamut, he will die. And death oftentimes in the scripture is a relationship, is related to judgment. So when you have contempt for the ways of God, or your ways manifest contemptness, realize it's not going to end well. It's going to have a very, very negative outcome. It is not going to be pleasing to God, and you won't reap the good things of God. So let me conclude by saying this. In this book of Proverbs, it is a book that is meant to be read every day, to learn these principles so they become natural to us. that we meditate upon them, we place them into our heart, so our heart will be established, so our heart will be true, our heart will be corrected in order that we make wise, pleasing decisions to God. We don't please self, we please God. And when we please God, we will have that joy of the Lord. We will know that peace that passes all understanding. We will know that contentment from the Lord. So the book of Proverbs is a very, very practical book that brings about a godly change in us if we're a believer. The book of Proverbs, with the anointing of the Spirit, will produce a mighty change in your life. I'll close with that. Until next time, shalom from Israel.
Well, we hope you will benefit from today's message and share it with others. Please plan to join us each week at this time and on this channel for our broadcast of loveisrael.org. Again, to find out more about us, please visit our website, loveisrael.org. There you will find articles and numerous other lectures by Baruch. These teachings are in video form. You may download them or watch them in streaming video. Until next week, may the Lord bless you in our Messiah Yeshua, that is, Jesus, as you walk with Him. Shalom from Israel.